This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I like that, Fred.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
No, I'm being serious. I watched the show back and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know. Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. Hey. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do. And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
Well, Simon, we are going to keep doing it week after week after week. Welcome to this Thursday edition of PFW in Progress.
Sanjaya, you are going home tonight.
Jeez, I forgot all about him. Anyway, we're here. Paul and Tom will be here soon. I don't know where the hell they are right now, but Andy and Eric are... Oh, here they are. Andy and Eric are in Indianapolis at the Combine, so I don't know. Maybe they'll call in, but you can certainly read what they're doing on the PFW blog. It's going on at Patriots.com. But we'll be here until 2 o'clock taking your emails at webradio@Patriots.com. That's webradio@Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Every Tuesday and Thursday during the off season from 12 to 2. So, guys, what's going on? You're right, Tom?
Still sick.
Really?
Dying, yeah.
This is the same sickness that you had?
I think I'm going down for the count.
This is it, huh?
Yeah. I just read before we came down here, Andy posted that Mangini just talked.
Oh.
And it took him about 12 questions in, but someone finally asked about Spygate, and he basically said, you know, I don't have anything
to do with
first
that attitude,
guys. And he walked off, and Andy tried to get him in the hallway, but he said he couldn't get up the stairs quick enough out of the,
right?
of the media.
That's
so
interesting.
He's smart. He's really
so smart. So that Mangini, they got him. Did they get it on tape at all? Was Brian Lowe there with the camera?
I don't know. They just posted it before we came down.
I just saw on TV a report. This isn't official, but there's a report that the Falcons are willing to trade D'Angelo Hall.
Yep.
Which is interesting.
Something we talked about on Tuesday.
Yeah, and also a report that the Patriots may slap Randy Moss with the franchise tag today.
Who was that report?
It was just on that TV, the sports channel TV.
Oh. The just sports channel or ESPN?
That's sports. What is that? SC. Sports Center.
Sports Center.
There used to be a sports channel. Remember Sports Channel?
Yeah, in 1981.
Well, that's, you know.
Albert Haynesworth and Marcus Trufant were slapped with the franchise tag.
Okay.
So there's two guys.
A lot of guys this year.
Trufant.
Very quickly,
Trufant.
For the
well, this is the
Raiders.
Deadline, Fred.
Yeah.
It's not that quickly. This is it.
Okay.
Moss will have to happen today.
But a lot of guys.
If it's going to.
Is this a record for amount of guys in one season with the tag?
I don't know. How many we got?
11 so far?
Really?
I think so.
11. I would say that's, yeah. I would 69. Say that's a lot. I missed a few.
For some reason, I think that number.
LJ Smith, Trufant, Haynesworth, obviously, today. Who else?
Dallas?
No.
Well, they did, and then they quickly did the deal,
They
right?
signed him to a deal.
Yeah. For one day, they
I don't think the report that he franchised them was accurate.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because about 5 minutes later, they announced him as a six-year
six-year deal. Right. Anyway, so that's interesting. D'Angelo Hall, I'd be interested in him. Wouldn't you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. If you could get him, absolutely. Yeah. We would talk. Would you give up the first-round pick for him?
Yes.
So that's what we were talking about the other day. I thought you were here. Maybe was it last week, maybe? One of the days that you weren't here that we were talking about him?
I would. And I think the Falcons would, too, because they need guys.
Oh, the Falcons, yeah. if they're shopping D'Angelo Hall, they would clearly take a top 10 pick for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know.
Be interesting to hear what our listeners think. Webradio@patriots.com. We have a lot of emails in. Obviously, everything's on the table. Spygate continues to be front page news. Goodell reported today that he's very anxious, those are his words, to speak with Matt Walsh, and that the lawyers are working out whatever arrangement it is that will allow him to come forward, although his agent says that they haven't even talked. So
that was weird. His lawyer said that they haven't even talked.
One person wants to know, would we please explain to the ignorant what the franchise tag means?
No, that's probably a good point. Well, that just means that there's one guy per team that you can put the franchise tag on, and that kind of gives you exclusive rights to that guy. It strongly limits the mobility that he has. The player would still be a free agent, but in getting franchised, he would be paid the average of the top 10 salaries at his position. So,
actually, franchise top 5. Transitions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right, Fred. And that would be so if you're a quarterback, you get the average of the top 5 quarterbacks and so on and so forth for the base salary. It's a one-year tender that's guaranteed. If you sign it, you're guaranteed that salary for the season. And teams can still negotiate with that player. However, if they chose to sign a player to the offer sheet and ended up in the team that owned that guy's rights, let him go, that team would have to forfeit 2 first-round picks in compensation.
And the purpose that the league and the created this franchise tag was, you know, to give teams the ability, the spirit of it was to give teams the ability to protect that one marquee guy, you know, rather than just let him go to free agency. You know, they felt it was good for the team. It's good for the fans to give teams a device to protect that one real star player. The problem with it is that over the years, the franchise tag has started to be used, you know, for lesser guys just to give leverage and keep them here so that other teams couldn't, you know, bargain with them. So the reason for the franchise has kind of been, I don't know, not misused, but it's been used in different ways than it was otherwise, you know, originally created for.
And as we speak, I just looking at NFL Network over my shoulder, the Raiders did the same with
Before you dumb Dave.
Oshawa, is that how you pronounce it, though?
Yeah, I said that when you were
How do you pronounce his name?
I don't know. I said the Raiders corner was franchised.
Well, I, you know, wanted to get his name, but I don't know his name.
I can never say it.
Ty Law's future is Adam Schefter is talking about it right now. There's rumors that Ty Law says, or not rumor, Ty Law has said he'd be interested in coming to the Patriots. And, you know, I'm sure it all has to do with money, but, you know, that's...
If the price is right, I think was his quote.
Yeah, and I think if the price was right, the Patriots would have him. So,
exactly. But I have a feeling that those two numbers are, one's in the inner city and the other's in the suburbs. They're so far apart. They're not even probably in the same neighborhood.
You know, so a lot of it's interesting. There seems to me, anyway, that there's a lot of fast movement going around in this offseason. A lot of big names being bandied about, guys being cut like Zach Thomas. You know, so it's going to be an interesting offseason, and it's going to go right up to the draft, I think. You know, with the Patriots having that high pick, gives a little bit more intrigue to this year's draft than other years. So it's a good way to take our mind off that.
I'd like to see the Patriots draft some players instead of being the Yankees and just bringing in a bunch of old guys. And, you know, remember when they were winning Super Bowls, they got a lot of contributions from the young guys they drafted.
Yeah.
I think they're getting away from that a little bit. And
well, I mean, the team is tougher to make now. It's a better team than it was back then.
I'm just saying, don't tell me you're going to bring in Zach Thomas and make me think the defense is going to be any different than it was last year. I mean, I think Zach Thomas is a good player, but he's an older player. He's going to struggle in coverage. And, I mean, you know, they were a great team last year. I'm not saying they weren't. But I think it's time to start getting some younger guys. Because I don't even know if Ellis Hobbs is a long-term answer. You know, he's a young guy, but...
Well, he may not even be ready to play, right? Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, I think that the biggest question, I agree with Tom's overall philosophy. I'd like to see some new blood come in and replace. Now, I'm not pushing Brewski and Seau and Colvin and all the other guys out the door. They're still going to be a big part of this team if they all want to be back, I would imagine. They're still going to be a big part of it, but I'd like to see the replacements on the roster.
Yeah.
Like, I see James Sanders. He's here. He's right. Played a little bit. Now he's a starter. I've seen that transformation. That I'm encouraged by him. I want to see, you know, the James Sanders of the linebacking core. You know, I saw it with the defensive linemen. I saw, you know, the Ty Warrens and the Vince Wilfork's come in, but I haven't seen that at linebacker, and I'd like to see the transformation of that defense, you know, kind of on the field. You know, so we can kind of gauge it a little bit and get what we have. And I'm really concerned, Tom, you guys brought up Ellis Hobbs. I'm really concerned there.
Oscar Lua isn't doing it for
you? I don't know. Seventh round picks, you know, no. But I'm also, if Samuel leaves, like most people think he's going to, I'm not convinced on Hobbs. Randall Gay's return is no sure thing. He probably will be back because I think he's one of those guys the Patriots could probably take care of. But I'm not really sold on that cornerback core.
No.
So
they've got a lot of work to do there.
Yeah.
Even if Samuel stays, you know, you can't tell me that they can't make it better back there. Harrison's got 1 year left on his contract. He says he's going to honor it. But you got to start looking.
Yeah,
like
you see, but if Samuel...
Who steps in? You know, Sanders could be his replacement right now.
Sanders is a starter now, period.
No, I know, but
whether
then
he's replacing
if he
Rodney
moves over
not.
To strong safety and replaces Harrison... Who then replaces Sanders? You know, so
is Merriweather ready? I mean,
the
strides that he made, but at least there's guys here. You know, they spent a first round pick on a guy, you know, to ostensibly
but
step in.
Linebacker seems to
linebacker
be that one
doesn't have anybody,
where, and I don't know if it's because they play the 3-4 and his type of linebacker. You know,
he doesn't trust those young guys to play the spot. But I also don't think that he has young guys that he's grooming to play the spot
in year four. That's the main problem. Cut Eric Alexander, cut Pierre Woods, because those guys can't play. So draft some young guys to take those roster spots. You know, you don't have to take Brewski and Seau's roster spots right now, but give me some talent that I can look forward to in 2-3 years and say, these guys can play in this league. Because the guys they have now, they can't play.
That's what it looks like to me, too.
It does seem the one place, I mean, because they've drafted heavy in offensive line. They've always drafted tight ends. They drafted heavy on defensive line. They're always going to get their defensive backfield. They got Maroney last year in the first round, you know, 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, so, but the linebacker seems to be that one position. And they have drafted linebackers.
But always late.
Very late.
And not a lot of them.
Yeah.
But always late
when
they even draft them. Fifth round, Ryan Claridge, you know.
Yeah.
Tully Bantakane in the seventh round, Lua in the seventh round. They don't never a first day pick.
You know,
sure.
We've speculated is it just that they're not that good, but we've seen linebackers come in and play in this league and play well.
Yeah, but when it goes to the point where it's now, you know, going on nine years, it's certainly there are times where they didn't have anybody they thought fit their system or you know things like that. But now it's to the point where. That can't be the reason every year for 8 years.
Right.
There had to have been one guy available to them who fit their system that they just choose not to draft.
Or that at that point when that guy was available to them, there was another guy at a position that was just a higher value on their board.
Right. So, you know, the thing with the secondary too, though, if Samuel did return, I think their normal style of bringing in two or three veteran cornerbacks – and letting them fight it out, you know, and you pick from whoever you know.
Yeah, Chad Scott.
Chad Scott, Eric Warfield, Torrey James, all of these guys. Some of them have not made the team at all. Some of them have stuck with the team and played. Some of them have been good. Tyrone Poole, you know, was a quality starter for a Super Bowl champion. Some of them have worked. Some of them haven't. With Samuel, I think that's good enough. Without Samuel, that's not good enough.
No, it's not good enough.
Because I don't think you can replace Samuel with quantity.
Right,
you need to replace him with quality, and I'm not sure where they're going to get that. Two of the best corners on the market were franchised, and Trufant and the guy I can't pronounce his name from Oakland.
Okay.
Ashwashusha.
So, Tom, anything to say about that?
No, I mean, we'll see if Andy can fit in some linebacker prospects in between his visiting the eateries of Indianapolis. maybe he'll have some names when he comes back. And
he got tickets to the basketball game last night. Wow, they're living the life out there.
They went to the Pacers game last night?
Yeah. Oh, and this just in, LeBron James good, according to Andy Hart.
According to Andy, he's got the live test now. He's good.
He's
okay.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, they go in the basketball games. And I haven't seen much football stuff posted on there, but hopefully that'll change in the next couple.
Well, that's why it's one of the two worst blogs in Boston. The second worst blog in Boston.
Well, and Andy did leave all his football stuff here on his desk. You know, he made sure, Fred, that he made a reservation at St. Elmo's.
He didn't forget
to
do that.
But he left all his notes and his scouting stuff here.
But seriously, he spent like 3 days compiling all kinds of, and you got to, Tom and I make fun of him every year, even though we steal a lot of the stuff that he does. He goes on like all of these different sites, and he has this system, I don't even know how he does it, where he puts together his, you know, the Andy Hart big board.
He's turning into Doc Z.
He gets like, based on like these 30 different sites, he'll put together his positional rankings and, you know, have like maybe top 10, 12, 15 guys at every position based on accumulation of all of these different things. He went through like 3 days of this stuff, and he left it all on his desk. It was all combine research.
Speaking of that, though, I kind of like what Mel Kiper said. I think you, Andy might have written it on the blog, how Mel Kiper does not look at other people's rankings.
I don't buy that for a second.
You don't think so?
No. I don't. You know why?
I like it in theory. Yes. If he really doesn't do it, I like it a lot.
You know why I don't buy it? Because all the rankings are too close together. It's like I said, one of my criticisms is Mel Kiper, and I love Kiper. You know, I've respected him throughout the years, but he never comes out and tells you Jake Long can't play. He'll never take a guy perceived to be top 10. Never, ever, ever has he said that guy can't play. So that tells me that he's getting it from somewhere, because you would think one time in the 20 years he's done this, you would think one of those guys
was ranked
high. You know what?
And Tom
has been on this for the last couple of weeks, and at first I kind of didn't really know what you were trying to say, but the more I think about it, the more I agree with you. And if you think about it, Fred, there are busts every single year in the top 10, right? I mean, when was the last time a draft unfolded where every guy that got taken in the top 10, said, well, yeah, he was pretty good.
Sure.
There's always a colossal bust.
At the very least, there's a guy who wasn't even close to being that value.
Right.
Ferguson isn't a bust yet.
Maybe not yet, but I'm talking about...
They were talking about him, blue chip lineman.
Yeah, but I'm talking about let's wait 3 years. So let's go back to like 04, okay? 04, 03, 02, 01. I mean, there's always bust, right? Why did none of these draft gurus, Mayock, Kiper, Todd McShay, all of these guys, none of them can identify the guy that's going to be the bust?
Right.
Well, you know what? Everybody thinks this guy's a top 10 guy. I don't see it. That, to me, would be as much of a draft expert as anything else.
You got
to
read our lads.
But no one ever does that.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No,
I didn't really understand what you were talking about, but the more I think about it, the more right I think you are.
But like
that doesn't happen often.
At the combine, like we were talking about, DeBrickashaw Ferguson, and he had trouble with Daryl Tapp from Virginia Tech, and then Anderson, the kid from Alabama, who went to the Bears at the Senior Bowl. And me and Andy were talking about his arms are so long. We were wondering if speed rushers were going to give him a little trouble, just because he has a weird build to him. If you see him live, but you would never hear anyone say, you know, I don't think DeBrickashaw Ferguson is worth the top five. But they never say anything like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for from those guys. But
I thought Mayock was one of those guys who kind of broke the mold a little bit and started saying negative things.
He did. You know what he does? He'll start off the process like that, like right now. Then he just conforms to the rankings. That's the problem I have with him. Like, he's early on in the process, he does state his own opinions. Then I think he talks to too many, like, personnel guys and everything.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that Paul's saying. I don't care where they tell you they think they're going. I want to know where you think they should go. You know, you're the one breaking
down the table.
That's
why I kind of like our lads. You know, and that's why, I talked about, I don't think they're necessarily right in the best gauges.
They're wrong a lot.
No, but they don't try to tell you where guys are getting picked. They rank the players in the order that they think that their ability is.
Right.
Now, that doesn't make them right.
Right.
You know what I mean? They might have DeBrickashaw Ferguson, the second best player in the draft, when in reality he was like 30th or whatever.
They're really bad when it comes to quarterbacks.
But the point is, we understand, you know, like DeBrickashaw Ferguson, okay, is we keep talking about him.
I just like saying the name.
I don't think that he. I don't think that he's a colossal bust, but he obviously wasn't a good enough lineman to be taken in the top three.
Right.
Like he did. Like he went. Right. So why didn't someone, one of these guys that's supposedly an expert, why couldn't one of them identify him and say, you know, I like this guy as a player, but I think of him more of as a late, you know, mid to late first rounder.
Value-wise.
Not necessarily a, you know, a top of the first round guy. To me, it's, if you're going to take an offensive tackle, Fred, in the top three, top five, he's got to be Ogden or Pace. He's got to be a stone.
Yeah.
I mean, that a piece to that puzzle that you know he's going to be my left tackle for 10 years, and I'm not going to have to worry about that position once in that 10 years.
Yeah.
Right, and I think like someone like Mayock, even if he thinks that, then he'll talk to guys and they'll say, well, he's going to the top five.
So
well,
what?
I know Jake Long's
so
going
that.
To the top five.
Exactly. So,
I don't
so just tell me.
Another guy.
Mike Mayock, just tell me.
Right.
He's going to go in the top five. I don't think he should go that high.
Another guy is the guy that the Raiders drafted a few years ago, the offensive line.
Robert Gallery.
Gallery. Yeah,
another perfect example.
You can't tell me with all these guys evaluating him. I mean, because this guy wasn't even close to being as good as they said.
No.
This guy was a surefire.
But they never identified those guys beforehand. Why is that?
Why isn't that no one saw that for whatever reason he didn't have the mentality to be a pro? Right.
If they're truly draft experts. And I do,
I
do respect a lot of the guys that are out there. I do, and I agree with Tom. I think Kiper is as good as any of them, even though he's kind of gotten all corporate and everything. But if they're as good as they're supposed to be, they should be able to say, you know, the teams really like A, B, and C. I'm not as high on A, B, and C as the teams are.
Right.
But I think they're afraid because I think they get their information from the teams.
And I know it's an inexact science, but when a guy falls that much off the chart like Gallery did, you know, he's still playing. He's not going to be left tackle anymore. But, you know, when he falls that much, there had to be something about him that would indicate this might happen. And no one ever sees it. You know, they just, everyone says the same thing
and I think that's
about
Tom's
the same
point.
Guys. You know? All right. We got to have a big shout out to Rachel from the Philippines who provided us with lunch today. So, Rachel, if you have an email that you want to send in, we'll get right to it. Right now, we're going to get right to eating, so we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Lunchtime for the boys. Let's listen in. Looks like it's Mexican today.
You know what I love about tacos?
What's that? Everything?
Do tacos get any more kick butt than this?
But with these guys, you have to kick it up a notch.
Oh, they're about to, all right. We take a crunchy all-beef taco, smother it in nacho cheese, lettuce, tomato, and our special Southwestern sauce. Then we wrap it in a soft flour tortilla with a layer of refried beans in between.
Sweet.
Then we wrap that in a savory corn tortilla with a middle layer of Monterey Jack cheese.
And what do you think of that, Tom?
Awesome! And it gets even awesomer when we take a deep-fried gordita shell, smear on a layer of our special guacamolito sauce, and wrap that around the outside.
Andy's head might be big, but what does he think of that?
This is pretty big.
It gets bigger because we bake it in a corn husk filled with pico de gallo, then wrap that in an authentic Parisian crepe filled with egg, gruyere, sausage, and portobello mushrooms.
Paul, what's on your mind?
Can I eat it now?
Sure, but not before we take the whole thing and wrap that in a Chicago-style deep-dish meat lover's pizza.
Fred? Frank? Jake Steele? How's that sound?
Pizza? Now that's what I call a taco.
Well, it's not a taco until we roll it up in a blueberry pancake, dip it in batter, and deep fry it until it's golden brown. Then we serve it all in a commemorative tote bag filled with spicy vegetarian chili. It's 15 great tastes all rolled into one. The new Pizza Craig Taco Pancake Chili Bag.
It's what's for lunch. Or you can just send pizza and wings and a turkey sub.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Again, another big shout out to Rachel from the Philippines. That is a long-distance delivery.
Is that our first international lunch?
It could be. I taste the spices, too. So very, a lot more spicy than it usually is coming from the Philippines. So, but, I, you know, you guys were making fun of me the other day. I do have to have a big shout-out to Bass Pro.
Oh, for
their wings.
You know
what?
Is
your lip bleeding again?
No, Paul, let me tell you the story.
I went yesterday.
He's got stuck.
No, yesterday, he's in his office, right? And I can hear everything that he says because I'm right outside. And I hear
and you listen.
Well, no, I hear you talk
I shouldn't
so
have
loud.
That glass on the wall because our
you talk
our
so loud
with
your door open, and I hear you go, yeah, sure, where do you want to go? Well, let's just go over to – we'll go to Bass Pro. So I took that as he's taking his wife out to lunch at Bass Pro.
I did.
And I said, the man is a menace. He goes there for chicken wings, for tube socks, for anything. You're like the guy on that fat Greek wedding who uses Windex for everything.
Right.
Like Bass Pro is your Windex.
I'm telling you, we got to go because, you know, we know wings. I would consider us wing connoisseurs. We have had them in more cities than probably anyone. These are excellent wings.
You know what's going to happen? You get that moron that's not here today over there eating those wings. If they're any good, he'll be over there every day. These are fantastic.
They are. They're delicious. No fat, a lot of meat. The sauce is excellent. Crispy yet tender on the inside. You're going to like it. So, all right. Enough about Lori.
Oh, Fred.
Now, what?
It's chocolate. It's peppermint. It's delicious.
All right, back to what we were talking about. What were we talking about?
Nothing.
The draft and people's mock drafts and
combine.
I wanted to say something, Fred. Everyone knows that I like Antoine Kaysen, the quarterback from Arizona, and he is reported by some as being slow. But I found an interesting thing on the internet that I put on the blog.
he's actually never run for any scouts, and they have labeled him at 4'5", and he says he has no idea where that came from because last year he was supposed to run as a junior at the Arizona Pro Day, but since he declared he was coming back for his senior year, he didn't do it that day. Instead, he was doing something else, his other commitment, which was running the 4x100 for the Arizona track team. Wow. So that's how slow he is. He lettered in track as a high school senior. He's on the Arizona track team is top 10 in the country, thanks to Mike from our blog who found that out. But somehow he got labeled as slow. So he's looking forward to running the 40. Now, this is why I think the 40's stupid. If he runs a 4.3, he'll be a top 15 pick. If he runs a 4.6, he'll be a third-round pick. To me, that's just not that big of a difference. If you look at his college, you know, now if he goes out and runs a 4.9, that's one thing. But you know, 4.5s, 4.4s, aren't they pretty much all the same?
Well, speaking of slow, on the phone right now is Andy. Andy from Indy. Andy, how you doing?
What's up, Fred? What's going on?
Oh, Mr. Tough.
I'm serious. Yeah. Serious time.
What do you got for us?
I'm actually sick.
You're sick?
Good.
How?
Because none of the medicine that these stupid doctors give me works.
And Andy, I'm still sick, too. I think we're dying.
I think there's some virus that's taken out the population.
Did you take any
I'm
zinc?
I'm ready to go. Trust me, Fred, zinc isn't going to work for this.
I'm feeling pretty good.
No, what zinc does is it gets it to go away faster.
So Andy and I are taking prescription medications from doctors, and you're telling us to take zinc.
Windex.
What prescription medicine exists for a cold?
Antibiotics. I imagine that's what Andy's taking.
Well, that's when you have pneumonia, for Christ's sake. You don't take antibiotics for a
cold. No, we have, like, bronchitis or something.
Really?
Yeah, they give you those five-day steroid packet, Z-Packs or something they call them.
You just used that excuse for having more roids.
All right.
Hey, do you actually have your information? Did you get your stuff from Tom?
I don't have it yet, but hopefully it's
no. I have an email. It was delivered.
Okay, good. I should be at the hotel by the time I get back to the room.
So tell us about Eric Mangini.
What about him?
Well, you blogged something on it. Tom talked about it. You didn't?
Oh, was that Eric?
Maybe it was Eric.
That might have been Eric. We've been bouncing around. Very busy morning, obviously, as you guys know. The first day of the combine, and right now, actually, the members of the competition committee are addressing the media.
Bill Polian?
Bill Polian's there, Jeff Fisher, Ozzie Newsome, Rich McKay, and some other guy. I don't know who he is.
You know what's funny is Andy right now is at the combine. There could be people walking around. And he just said Bill Polian, and people are like, "Oh, that idiot doesn't even know how to pronounce his name."
Too bad.
But no, the reason I wanted to call in is some Patriots-specific information that we're hearing some rumblings about is potential changes on the coaching staff.
Yeah, Joe Collier.
Joe Collier is a name I have heard, and I've heard there may be multiple changes that could be announced as early as today.
Wow. What do you got?
Oh, that's pretty much what I got. Joe Collier is the name I've heard. And then just maybe putting pieces together, we've heard rumors all along that there might be something with Pepper Johnson going to Virginia to be with Al Groh. So that was the next one that I thought about. But yeah, I've heard Collier, and then...
Who are you hearing it from? Just guys in the hallway?
No, sources.
Yeah?
A lot of league sources down there, Fred.
Yeah, a lot of league
sources. Why you send him there, right? To make contacts. He's doing his job.
Got those cards?
In your opinion, are these, you know, reliable sources?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I would think there will be a move as early as today with the coaching staff. I think Collier will be involved, and I don't know who the other names
are. Collier a scapegoat, you think?
I don't know if he's a scapegoat, but... You know, the secondary didn't play all that well this year. If you want to call it a scapegoat, call it a scapegoat, or call it he didn't do his job.
Right.
Okay. So.
Andy Hart's tough.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but he was kind of tough on LeBron James until he actually saw him live.
This just in from Andy Hart, LeBron James good. Thanks for that insight, Andy.
Yeah.
You're not the best scout in the country for nothing.
Breaking news.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of scouts that tell me Sean Merriman's good, and he doesn't pass my Andy Hart test, so.
Wow. I think you're wasted in football, my friend. You should be in the NBA.
Special. But I don't know if you guys have been following along. There's obviously been a lot of Spygate talk here. A lot of questions asked of coaches.
Lovie Smith
had some comments. Not surprisingly, he kind of shot it down, poo-pooed it a little bit.
And we should say he was the defensive coordinator then for the Rams.
You find Denny Green out there? I'm sure he'll tell you something good.
I haven't seen Denny Green yet. I'll be sure to keep an eye out for him. But no, some of the other interesting topics, a lot of people just raving flat out about the tackle prospects, calling it the deepest tackle class in 25 years. and that this offensive line group is very, very good. And we sort of knew that, but also running backs getting some of the same sort of talk. Mm-hmm. The fact that if you're looking for either a tackle or a running back that could come in and have an impact on your team, you can do it anywhere in the first three rounds and still get a quality NFL player in those three rounds.
Could the Patriots be looking for an offensive tackle?
Why not?
Sure.
You know,
did you see the Super Bowl? I'm kind of throwing that out there.
Well, it's funny because we assume they will be, but you got to figure out where is it.
Right.
You know, is Matt Light no longer your left tackle? Is Nick Kazier no longer your right tackle? Now, he's obviously, I would say, the greatest candidate to lose a starting job.
I like the second part of that.
Maybe Light moves to right tackle and you draft a left tackle. But, in talking about Kazier, I actually talked to John Greco. Tom, is that the right name? I'm going with Toledo tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, talked to him today. He is actually a Nick Kazier protege. He sort of grew up in Kazier's shadow at Toledo and kind of patterned his game, he said, after Kazier, and coaches used Kazier as sort of a carrot at the end of the tunnel there for him to develop.
That's interesting. Why didn't I read it on the blog?
Because I'm talking to you guys, and I just talked to him. And it was also one of those stories that I thought would be great where I read these clips that said he and Kazier were roommates, best friends, all this. And I said, so how often do you talk to him? I haven't talked to him in a long, long time.
Well, have you ever heard Kazier talk? I mean, why would he call him?
He'd be a hard guy to talk to on the phone, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and he said he knew he was going through, obviously, not a tumultuous year, but a stressful year and a year where the team was going through a lot and having a lot of success. And he said he didn't want to call him and sort of get in the way. He knew it was business first with him. But, there's already, as always, there's already some, you find Patriots connections. The center out of Notre Dame, John Sullivan, talked a lot about Charlie Weiss and how he uses his time with the Patriots as motivation and shows the rings. And he, feels like he's going to be a better pro prospect because of Charlie Weiss. We've heard that story before. But
sure. Not from Darius Walker.
Right.
Yeah. But, some of the usual, obviously, in the first few hours here.
How's Eric doing down there? I'm worried about that poor little bugger.
Yeah, I'm worried about him too, because at one point there were about three players. There was Lovie Smith talking. I was writing down quotes about Super Bowl 36, and I look over and Eric was on the internet on his laptop. So I'm a little worried, but
Say by tomorrow he'll be out of gas anyway.
I'm out of gas today.
That's
I picked up my bag this morning and hurt my back. I've been coughing up all kinds of stuff.
Drink tea.
That's what Fred does, yeah, drink tea.
Take zinc.
Zinc and tea, I guess that's the cure-all.
Now, Andy, have you seen Antoine Kaysen yet?
I have not, but I've seen that you haven't stopped talking about him.
When you see him, tell him Tom says hi.
I will.
Tell him to get a restraining order now on Tom.
Very much looking forward to his 4.8740.
Yes, I'm sure there will be I'll tell you what, when it happens, I'll let you blog first.
Okay. But, we're having some fun blogging. I think we're getting it done.
Yeah, I was telling Paul the blog was a great idea because you guys are getting those quotes from the coaches about Spygate, boom, right up.
Yep, and I definitely know we beat, the most respected blog in Boston with some of those quotes. I made sure of that.
Well, that's okay. Maybe we'll move up to the third worst.
I don't want to go anywhere because I looked up on UrbanDictionary.com the definition for snark.
Snark?
And snark is everything I'm about. It's entertaining. It's fun.
Right. I took
snark.
That as a compliment. I thought it meant we were funny.
Me too. If you tell me there's a blog out there that doesn't have any snark, I'm not reading it.
Well, there was a comment, by the way, attached to ours. I don't know if you read that said that the PFW guys do a great job of not taking themselves too seriously and having fun with the blog like they do on their podcasts. And obviously, this fellow doesn't have a sense of humor. So
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably our mission statement right there.
Yeah, Andy, check out that offensive lineman from Appalachian State. I heard good things.
What's his name?
I don't know. I don't even know if he's there. Just look under. Well, you don't have the information, but I think
I don't have my list yet.
Yeah, unfortunately, all your information's on your desk.
Andy, go to the blog. He's my sleeper for guard. I think check him out.
I thought that was the guy at a Rutgers, that Sosa guy.
Then he's my sleeper at tackle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's lots of offensive linemen coming. I'm overwhelmed.
All right, Andy. Well, thanks for calling in. Drink some tea. Chew coldies is what the zinc stuff is called.
Yeah, who'd have thunk I was, doing everything wrong by going to the doctor? I just got to listen to you, Fred.
Yep. Well, there's nothing you can do for a cold. You just got to wait for it to get through your body. So the idea is to
treat the symptoms and try to get it out as quick as possible.
And now St. Elmo's is tomorrow?
St. Elmo's is Friday night. I actually just got a voicemail from them confirming my reservation.
Okay. Wow. Well, your stuff should be waiting for you in your room.
And one last note, Paul Perillo needs to go to a Weber Grill. Phenomenal restaurant.
Weber Grill?
I didn't even know they had such restaurants.
Yes, it's the, I think it's only their second or third. They're an expanding chain. They are owned by the Weber Grill Company.
Yeah,
everything.
Paul hasn't been able to read the blog today because when he came in, Brian Morey stopped to talk to him, and then we did the show.
I'll just leave you with this, Andy. Don Banks is a possibility.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and that's why I needed to talk to Fred, but unfortunately, Fred was tied up from 9 to 11:15 talking about the museum, and that didn't work out so well this morning.
No, but that's good.
All right, Andy. Carry on, and if you see Eric, you can tell him to call too. Anyway, Andy Hart reporting from Indianapolis. Where else do you get such up-to-date reports from the combine?
I know we're making fun of him and everything, but he did sound about ready to die.
He sounds pretty sick.
We got something.
That
because
sucks.
I can't stop coughing. Like, I don't know what to do.
Well, I was sick last week. I mean, I didn't whine about it, but I was sick.
No, I'm not whining. It just it goes. It normally doesn't a cold go away after 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, no, you should go to the doctor if it's been around that long. Have you been to the doctor?
They gave me some pills, I told you.
Okay.
But it's the cough. I can't get rid of the cough.
Right. Well, they tend to linger.
Well, I think that when you're I think we all came back with a little something from Arizona. Being away, you know, and the weather was a lot colder, I think, than any of us was anticipating.
Yeah.
So.
You're laughing.
Tom and Andy have taken longer to get over it than the tough guys, Fred. The old guys.
Well, they were partying a little bit longer.
That's true. They had that big penthouse party.
Yeah.
With
that's probably where we got it.
God forbid.
You know what? Probably had some bad sausage.
Yeah. I saw the crew there. God only knows what they had.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and we have a lot of emails. Coming in, so let's get to some. Pat in California writes in, just listening to the podcast, you guys mentioned what number would Thomas wear if he came to Foxborough. I wanted to pass along a few tidbits I heard on Sirius Radio with an interview with Zach Thomas a few days ago with Pat Kerwin. He said, responding to Pat Kerwin's question about what team schemes he would be interested in, Kerwin assumed he would be looking for a 4-3 team. Thomas actually said he is more interested in 3-4. Commenting that, among other things, he felt you get more protection because there are generally 5 men on the line because the outside linebackers usually play up on the line. He also claimed that the schemes he has played the last few years have included some modified 3-4. Not sure if he is just posturing to get more teams to jump in the pool, offering him contracts. He also said he wants to go to a place that he needs more than they need him. Meaning he doesn't want to be in a position where he is the key man that everyone is counting on. He would rather be a contributing cog to the whole picture. And he also commented that if it happened and he came to the Patriots and Teddy Bruschi retired,
these things really are huge,
that he probably would not wear number 54 because he has so much respect for what Bruschi's done here. He joked that he had spoken with Izzo and that he would probably end up wearing 53.
He's smart. Zach, those comments are smart comments from a veteran guy who obviously knows a little bit something about how it works. the whole 3-4-4-3 thing. What was one of the things last year, Tom, that you, Andy, and I all criticized Lance Briggs about?
Mm-hmm.
Out at the Super Bowl, he was adamant, I'm a 4-3 linebacker. Dumb.
Yeah.
Very, very dumb. Even if you have no intentions of signing with a 3-4 team,
The
4-3 teams don't need to know that.
Right. And the scouts and the coach know what you are. You don't need to go tell the world. They know what
Very
you are.
Very smart by Zach Thomas to not pigeonhole himself. Also to make comments like, I'm not looking to be the main guy. I want to be a cog in a machine. And that's – I mean, look, that welcomes you to a lot of different teams. The Patriots, obviously, at the top of that list. But there's a lot of teams that are looking for team-oriented players.
Yep.
So it's not a surprise that he's been around as long as he has and been as successful as he has making comments
like
that.
Is his sister still going out with Jason Taylor?
Married. They're married.
I thought they broke up. Did they break
up?
Well,
there was rumors that the marriage was in trouble. They were married for a while.
Right.
And as far as I know, they're still married. But I know there was a rumor that they were they had trouble, and that was causing – strife between Taylor and Thomas. But
yeah.
I haven't really heard anything about it. Jason Taylor on the Dancing with the Stars spread. What do you think of Parcells thinks of that?
Not good.
Probably not. Should get hurt.
Yeah. Jonas writes in, kind of a blast from the past, but when Roosevelt Coven was with the Bears, what position did he play? He obviously is just
outside linebacker.
Yeah, he's obviously just a pass rusher. Did he play weak outside? Were they playing Tampa 2 back then? Was he playing defensive end? With a Tampa 2 weak side outside linebacker mainly covering the hook/curl zone and or slot receiver on the X side?
I don't know, Albert Breer,
I cannot
but...
imagine the Rosie we all know in that role.
He played pretty much the same role.
As good a linebacker as there is, and this guy is really a good football player. He can rush, he can cover, he makes plays all over the field. He's quick, he's explosive. He's tough.
Who's he talking about there? It could be any player in the league.
I don't think there's any reason to say anything else that Rosie Colvin does. Bill just said it for us.
That
but
was what Bill
Belichick
said before they got him.
He was a 4-3 outside linebacker, weak side outside linebacker, who specialized in rushing the passer. That's what he did in Chicago. And that's not all he did, but, you know, he had 10.5 sacks back-to-back season, something like that.
Okay.
So he was a guy that went after the passer.
Let's see. John, what? I have my mouth full. When you're supposed to, like, back me up. When I'm eating, you're supposed to keep talking.
Stop
so that,
eating.
Well, I have to finish my food. You guys get to eat.
You guys get to eat.
You know?
That's why I got back on the air.
My food's ice cold. I haven't even eaten.
You just caught me with a mouthful.
Gary
always likes to play those stupid ones.
John writes in, have you guys seen or heard some of the videos on YouTube that show the game clock not starting at the snap of the ball during the Giants' TD drive? Seems to give them more time than they should have had. One guy has an 8-minute video rundown of what happened. Yeah, I want to believe that stuff, but it just ain't true. So, what?
I just hate the conspiracy theory stuff.
Well, I just love how Patriot fans say everyone else whines except for them. You're the biggest whiners I've ever heard. This region of fans has the biggest whiners I've ever seen.
Well,
in my
life. Moving on. We're out to take 2008 by storm. We're just gonna. Anybody that gets in our way this year, we're going to run them right over.
It would be
I don't care who.
It would be funny if it wasn't so true, but we were I remember riding back from the University of Phoenix Stadium that night, Fred. We were all, you know, trying to figure out what happened, right?
What happened?
What happened? What just happened? What did we just watch? And we all said it. The Giants defensive line dominated the game.
Yes.
We all said that we would have picked Justin Tuck as our MVP. Right?
Yep.
They controlled the Patriots' offensive line, manhandled them. That was the difference in the game. And we all predicted that's the way it'll be playing out the beginning of the week back home. People will be saying that. You got to tip your hat to the Giants. They played a better game. But as the week goes on,
sure.
The worm will turn to the officials cost them the game. And sure enough, it unfolded just like that.
Yep.
I mean, all of us said the same thing. The defensive line was the reason they lost. Now the reason why they lost? Because there's an 8-minute video on YouTube saying the clock was mishandled.
Chantel from – no, this is Phil. What? Oh, Chantel Phillip. Is that his first name? Or
Phillip Chantel.
Oh, okay.
Well, you want to give out his phone number and address, too?
Maybe his Social Security.
He is from Nova Scotia. He says, breaking news. This just in from Brian Gumbel. It appears the Patriots will go 16-0. Anyway, I agree with Fred that we have to stop mourning the Super Bowl loss and move on, but it is not that simple. This is more than just a mourning period. This is like the worst case of blue balls ever. All year we were building toward the ultimate climax just to be left very sore, flaccid, and unsatisfied at the end. And to think we have to wait until next September to get any play at all is truly horrible.
Just make sure you don't say anything bad about Eric.
Yeah, good thing we don't, you know, make any, you know, off-color jokes or anything.
Oh, this, you can do off, you just, you know. I have a question. Considering the recent scandals and the more recent Super Bowl loss, how do you feel the Patriots will compare to the other dynasties of past decades? And not by which team was the best, but which one has been the most successful marketing-wise. For example, even as little as 10 years ago, it seemed that I couldn't throw a rock without hitting at least a few San Francisco fans. But where are they now? Compared with the Cowboys and Steelers, it seems that they never had much of a true fan base or a sustainable casual fan base. Will the Patriots dynasty meet the same fate?
I don't know. It's tough to say. What do you think? I think there's a lot of Patriot fans right now, but I do agree with the 49er thing. There was a ton of 49er fans all over the place. Now I couldn't find one to save
Just my my neighbor across the street. Well, the only guy I know.
I mean, as much as we make fun of Patriots fans or Boston fans in general, I think Boston's a better sports town than San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Much better.
Yeah. No doubt. Strong sports
town. I think the base is more solid than it was in San Francisco.
But I'm just wondering, I know the base fans will stay, but I'm talking about like kind of the fringe people now who are Patriot fans.
Oh, I think that changes. Just like Patriots picked up fans, mm-hmm. you know, during this era, they'll lose them and other team will pick up fans. You know, when I was a kid, I was a Broncos fan. I don't know why. I just like them, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the one thing that...
What's so funny about that?
I just think it's funny. I was just a Broncos fan. I don't know why. I
think
them.
The one thing that this is what's going to hurt the Patriots is those great teams never lost a Super Bowl. The Patriots went and lost a Super Bowl. And, like, we got some emails, well, it was still a great year. But no, it wasn't. This was one of the biggest disappointments in the history of sports. It wasn't a great year. And you can get Tom Brady and Bill Belichick on this show, and they'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah, see, now, I understand why... And you're absolutely right. That's exactly what Bill Belichick would tell you and exactly what Tom Brady would tell you because that's all there. But I look at it a little bit differently. Yes, I think it's a tremendous disappointment that they lost, and there's no getting around that. To me, it's still the best Patriots team I've ever seen.
Right. But I'm saying years from now, all anyone's ever going to talk about is the loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no question. If you don't win it, you didn't win it.
I mean, agree with you. This team
could no way to getting around it.
Could have beaten any of those Patriot teams that won the Super Bowl, but it is how it's perceived. It's going to be a failure.
You know, a lot of older Patriots fans that watched the 76 and the 78 teams would have beaten any of the three Super Bowl champs. Also, I certainly think the 96 team would have beaten the 2001 team by two touchdowns, but. The fact of the matter is all of those teams didn't win.
Right.
And you're right. The perception is going to be disappointment. But I think that maybe as time goes by, people will recognize just how good this team was.
Yes.
And I don't think it'll be looked at. Right now, you know, there's a lot of snickers. There's a lot of public embarrassment. And part of that, Fred, I think, is as much having to do with all of this off-field stuff as anything else. And, you know, maybe 10 years from now when Spygate is a completely distant memory, people will look back and they'll say, that was a great team
that lost the last game. I'll tell you, though, you know, to what will affect, like you just said, the legacy of this team will be Spygate is a big part of that. Because
I'm saying if ultimately Spygate is proven to be a distant memory.
But here's what I'm saying. Right, you know, very soon, you know, within the next few months, that whole issue, Spygate, has to be squashed completely.
Right.
Yeah.
That wall
going
has
one
to
way
be
or another.
Completely humiliated, and everybody has to come out and say this was. I mean, everybody has to come out and say this was ridiculous. That has to happen
right.
in
it
order
can't
for
linger.
People
it
to appreciate
linger.
This season. It has to go away completely.
I agree with you.
So that's why the Patriots need to continue playing hardball with this.
If it does,
case, Hawaii
people will recognize what this team did now. You know, the Buffalo Bills went to four straight Super Bowls. No one really considers them one of the great teams.
No.
But they were. You know, not all four different teams, but, you know, that first team, that was a great team.
A lot
great
of talent.
Team. That was a great team.
Yeah.
They didn't win it all, and the majority of the public won't view them that way. But, you know, there's no one's going to tell me that the 2000 Baltimore Ravens were a better team than the 90 Buffalo Bills.
And I think their defense might have
please.
Done a number on them.
Please,
but the thing is going to be how the media does portray it, because it's a fact that Jerry Tarkanian cheated at UNLV, but nobody really cares. Like, that UNLV team that lost that game to Duke is still the best team I ever saw, but they cheated. You know what I mean? And it just nobody cares. But if the media, if this turns out to be and the media keeps with the cheating, I think people who are younger years from now will go back and say, well, they kind of cheated. And you never hear anyone say that about UNLV. You never say,
I think that's an interesting point.
They cheated, because no one ever talks about the Tark cheating. The people just don't care.
And you know what else,
too? They're not going to let this one die.
And another similarity between those two is everybody says, but that's college sports. Everybody's cheating. They got
right,
caught.
Exactly.
Well, that's what everybody's saying about the Patriots right now, too. You know, a lot of the people that are defending the Patriots saying they didn't do anything that everybody else
well,
isn't doing.
When it comes to Spygate 1.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Spygate 2.
But that's what we're
different.
Talking about
yeah.
here.
Let's see. Talking about Jason Taylor, Josh helps us out here. He says, Katina Taylor, sister of Dolphins linebacker Zach Thomas, file for divorce from
they
Jason.
They did get divorced.
File for divorce in Jason in mid-July. Katina later rescinded the divorce petition against her husband in August, 8 days before a hearing was scheduled.
So they're still together.
They're still together. They're working it out.
You know what I got out of that? Strippers isn't listening today.
And he would have yelled at us for that?
No, because somebody else came in with the information before him. That's just not...
Well, he usually comes in the second hour anyway. And then
he might still be sleeping.
Tries to monopolize the show.
He might still be sleeping.
Yeah, that could be. George writes in, "Hey, Tom, this is probably a dumb question, but it's not going to stop me. Trevor Laws, Notre Dame, I think? ND. Could be North Dakota. No. I don't know. 6'1", 280 pounds. I was very impressed with his play at the Senior Bowl. Here's the dumb question. Could he drop 10 pounds and move to middle linebacker? I know they haven't run yet. I hope he runs a 4.8, which is about where Aaron Henderson runs.
How much does he weigh?
280.
That's a big inside linebacker.
And he's big.
I know that's fast for a D lineman, but do you think it's possible?
No, it's just – see, the thing about the 40 is, say him and Henderson run the exact same 40, Henderson is much quicker. You know what I mean? When you talk about the lateral drills and the cone drills, a linebacker is almost always quicker than a defensive lineman. The 40 is just a straight line speed for 40 yards.
Right.
So even if they were to run similar 40s, my guess is when you watch those cone drills, you would see a huge difference between a Henderson and a defensive lineman like that. I don't see him being a guy that's going to play inside linebacker.
At 270 pounds. I mean, he's saying drop 10 pounds at 280.
Kirkland,
I was just going to say, that's exactly the guy I was going to say. I mean, that's a big inside linebacker. It doesn't mean he can't play, but that's a big, big inside linebacker. You know, it'd be interesting to see if they'd be interested. I think they're kind of going
the other way.
The other way and try to get a little bit more athletic and quicker. And I think that's one of the reasons why a couple of years ago we heard all that stuff that they really liked Jonathan Vilma, who was only about 220 pounds coming out of Miami.
He also wants to know about Larry Grant, 6'1", 240. Haven't seen him mentioned very much. Could be available in the fifth or sixth round. Is it a work ethic issue? Is he slow? Could he be a steal in the fourth or fifth round?
I don't really know much about him yet. We're going to have to – our tapes are coming March 3rd, I think. The guy emailed me, Fred.
Yeah.
So when we get more of the tapes and we get the combine stuff, then we'll know more about all these prospects. You know, like I said, I don't pretend to know – every single person that's played college football. So I can't speak intelligently on the life of Larry Grant.
That's perfect, though. We're going to get him beginning of March. Right, we'll finish up this combine issue, and then we'll have time to
Did
to
you
really...
work that out? Is that going to happen?
Yeah, it's all set.
Did you just listen to him?
I know. But
he already yelled at me once for not knowing about the Raiders guy being the franchise.
Me and the guy have been emailing back and forth for a month and a half.
Okay. Mish writes in from Montreal. I just wanted to let you guys know that in my heart – you are clearly, by 100 miles, the number one worst blog in the Northeast.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Keep fighting, boys, and you'll eventually hit worst blog in the country. So on Tuesday, you each chose the corner that you would take at 7. I was hoping to hear a little more on that, and since this is my first year with the NFL Network, thanks for the heads up, Tom, I'd like to know what combine drills are the most important when evaluating the corners and what to look for.
Well, the one I just said is by far the cone drill.
Change of direction, the hip turn, and stuff like that for cornerbacks, very important.
And you'll hear Mayock talk about the hip, the fluid hips and all that stuff when they're doing it. So that, to me, is the number one. Like we said, the 40 is overrated, like between the 4.3 and the 4.5 range. I think if a guy runs a 4.5, then people act like, oh, my God, he can't run. But if you're a corner and like Damian Hughes last year for Cal was considered a first round prospect, but he ran like a 4.9. If you do that, then you're going to be in some trouble, obviously.
Right, because there's a point where you're just too slow to keep up with the receivers that you're going to be covering at the NFL level. But you know, hip turn. I don't know if you remember this, Fred, but when I first started, when Pete Carroll was still here, I think it was. Ron Lynn. Remember Ron Lynn? I think he was defensive backs coach back then. Tom, they had just drafted Tabucky Jones in 98. And, you know, he didn't really play cornerback at Syracuse. He was a safety. He was a running back first, then he went to safety. And they wanted to make him a corner, you know, in the NFL.
A press corner.
Well, yes, you are correct. And it was really going slow.
I
mean, you've seen Tabucky Jones. Yeah. He's the man's a beast.
Right.
He's a physical marvel. I mean, he's huge.
Tabucky's Tabucky.
And it just wasn't going well. He looked stiff. He looked mechanical. He didn't look like he had the fluid stuff that we're talking about. And Brian and I were talking to Ron Lynn. And he said, yeah, I think Brian made a comment, you know, is he ever going to get it? And he said, it's nothing that, you know, a couple of thousand reps covering a guy and turning those hips every time won't fix. The problem is we don't have the luxury of giving them those couple. I mean, they were a good team.
Right.
They were playoff teams in 97, you know, 96, 97, 98. You know, and they certainly anticipated being 1-99 at being 6-2 at the break, at the midway point. They never were able to really give him all those reps because of the, I mean, it sounds so simple, but he couldn't turn his hips.
Right.
He never played, you know, running backwards like that and having to turn. He was always used to having everything in front of him. Now he has to turn and run with a guy, and he really never got it. And Belichick recognized that right away, by the way. One of the first things he did when he got here was he made him a safety again. And he got productive years out of Tabucky.
And that 1/10 of a second difference of turning your hips
you.
Is the
yeah.
difference between being with
run.
Randy Moss.
Tabucky Jones
and
could
being,
run like the wind.
Right.
Didn't matter.
Josh says, I have to disagree with you, Paul, that no one considers Buffalo to be a great team despite the four straight Super Bowl losses. The Bills are huge in Nicaragua. As we saw a few weeks ago, the Patriots are gathering momentum down there, too.
That's one of the funniest things. Did you see those pictures, by
yeah,
the way?
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest emails we've gotten in a long time. They must be the favorite team in Nicaragua. They got, like,
right.
It was like, hey, I guess this is what we get. We get Buffalo Bills, Super Bowl champs stuff
every
year.
That's the type of stuff that 10 years, like when Buffalo played 15 years ago, you never heard about. Like
right.
them shipping those things off, and now it's on ESPN.com.
Well, it'd be funny, you know, because you know, someone's actually like going down to Nicaragua for whatever reason. Everybody knows who Jim Kelly is for
right.
some reason. You know?
Yeah.
They think the Patriots went undefeated down
right,
there.
Right, right.
That's a very funny email.
Gerard from Pennsylvania. He says, since when in blue hell, Fred, did you become a motivational speaker? I haven't the slightest idea, but your opening statement on Tuesday was something of a masterpiece. It was not only very powerful, but it inspired me as well. I never thought I would ever find myself saying that any of you douche canoes inspired me, but in this particular case, I have to. The world does hate us and would like nothing more than to see us burn. Yes, we need to make a statement next season, but why wait until then? Let's start in free agency in the draft. Vengeance will be ours. Now is the time to show no mercy. Rambo style. Rock on, you crazy bastard.
I have a little of that audio, Fred, if you'd like to hear it.
Oh, sure. Let's go. I'd like to start the show off with a statement. I think as Patriots fans, we need to move on. I think the time of mourning is over. I think we need to start looking at 08, start getting into this draft, start getting into free agency, start looking at what we need to do in 08
to
get back.
You could just shut your big yammer.
We need to come back with a vengeance. The world hates us, so be it. It's okay. In fact, I'm thinking of coming out with a T-shirt that has the Elvis logo and hate this under that.
So if we were raping and pillaging last year, what are we going to do this year?
Oh, we're not stopping at that. We're practicing witchcraft. We're doing everything. We're killing goats and leaving their bodies in front of elementary schools. We're doing everything.
What are you talking about?
We got to come back like we are so pissed off.
So does that mean you have to go 19-0?
You don't have to, but you got to win the Super Bowl. So that's my opening statement.
No animal should be harmed in this, Fred. Come on.
All right, so Eric had to, you know, spoil the mood
yeah.
by, you know, making sure we don't kill animals.
You could just shut your big yapper!
Andy's not going to make it out of there. Andy's going to kill him.
Well, if he just sits on his internet and doesn't interview anyone,
I'm
going to kill him.
I can picture exactly what happened when Andy was describing that.
Because
you go to every player, even if you don't, if you decide you don't want him, like, you still go. Because
yeah.
you never know. He might say, yeah, I'm cousins with Teddy Bruschi. I mean, you never know what someone's going to say.
Well, you know how, like, when guys that get Playboy sent to their home, they say, well, I just like the articles. I don't.
Right.
He really does read the articles. Do you have time in between players to blog stuff if you don't, you know?
There's times when
possibly making a defense for him.
No, but here's the thing.
Might he have been blogging something?
If Andy is with the coaches, like if he was sitting there writing down the coaches and there's three guys at tables, I would go to the three guys at the tables. Now, if Eric did that, that's fine. But if he didn't, you never know who those three guys are now.
That's a good point. But, you know, like I said, I fully anticipate him completely running out of gas by tomorrow. No way he makes it through the weekend.
Oh, no way.
It's like he was like up here, Fred, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday
yeah.
in Arizona,
yeah.
and all of a sudden
Yeah.
I mean, the floor just
wall.
Fell off. Oh.
Rookie wall.
Dropped right down.
All right. Oh, it's 104. We got to take a break, Gary. We'll be right back.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Are we back? I can't hear. Is there music playing? Yeah. What's going on? I can't hear.
Turn your headphones
I
on.
I can't hear you either.
Oh, my headphones are off.
Jesus.
I thought it was a bit.
No,
are we back?
At first I thought it was too. Then I realized his headphones.
No, these headphones have an on-off switch. They're Bose QC3s.
And you feel the need to turn them off in between commercial breaks as opposed to just after the show?
Well, I like to, preserve the batteries.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, I saw Spider-Man 3.
What'd you think? I haven't seen that.
I thought it was very good.
I liked 1 and 2.
I don't watch any of them.
It's very good, very dark.
I haven't gotten into the Batmans.
Yeah.
You haven't seen any of the Spider-Mans?
None.
I think you'd like them.
I just don't really watch movies. I got to the point in my life where I just watch the same movies over and over again.
Yeah, you know what? I have the ones that I like.
Godfather.
Yeah, see, I know I'm not going to be disappointed. Right. I have the ones that I liked the first time, and I just keep watching those.
Well, I watched that, and I watched Bourne Ultimatum, which was very good.
I saw that.
Yeah, for a third in a series, it was pretty good.
The two new ones that I do want to see, though, are that American Gangster.
I really
want
to see that.
I Own the that. Night or whatever.
We Own the Night.
That's supposed to be good.
Who's in that?
Marky Mark and Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, I'll watch anything. I mean, I think Mark Wahlberg's pretty good. I don't think he has a lot of bad movies.
I also want to see that there's going to be blood.
What's this?
With Donald Day. What's his name? Dennis Day?
Oh. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's your type of movie. Put me right to sleep.
Life Aquatic?
Oh, no. It's supposed to be a good movie. Yeah,
he's one of those guys. All he has to do is make a movie. He's up for an Academy
Award. Wait a minute. Did you ever see him in New York Gangs?
I'm not saying he's a
bad
actor.
Or Gangs of New York.
Right.
I'm not saying he's a bad actor, Fred.
Thank God we have Gary to translate.
That was an excellent movie.
Because Tom and I don't know anything in the last 5 years. We don't know any of the movies.
He was a bad dude in that movie.
All I'm saying is him and Tom Hanks, all they got to do is put out any kind of decent movie, and they're up for Academy Awards.
That's because they go through all the emotions in the movie.
That's because they kiss the asses of people in Hollywood.
But that Gangs of New York was a good movie.
The Academy Awards are like Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Once you get one,
that's it.
You get one every time.
Yeah.
By the way, excellent Untouchables reference yesterday on the Big Show.
Thanks, guy.
Paul, you did a good job on the Big Show yesterday.
Did I?
Fred's giving you his approval.
Did I stay? I stayed out of trouble.
No,
then?
I was just.
That's the only thing I was concerned about. I'll be honest with
it's
you.
It's a tough show. You got Danny Ainge on there talking basketball.
I like the Celtics talk just so I could stay out of trouble.
Well,
the best team in the NBA. Who wants to hear about that?
41-11.
What have they done?
What
have they done? Let's see. Alex writes in. He says, Dallas sucks. Just watch America's Game piece on the 1995 Cowboys, and I have some questions regarding Barry Switzer. One, is he mentally retarded?
Yes.
Two, did players hate him?
Yes.
And three, why was he in Jimmy Johnson's staff being so different? Can you ask Tom about that fourth and short in Philadelphia?
Well, he wasn't in Jimmy Johnson's staff. Him and Johnson never coached together. Barry Switzer was retired for like 6 years, and Jerry Jones called him up off the couch to come coach the team.
Barry Switzer coached Oklahoma for years in college, was very successful, broke the 1,000 rules along
every
the way.
Every rule there is, he broke.
And, he was out of it for a while. Was it 6 years it was, Tom?
It's like five, six, yeah.
So, and then he came back, and I do remember that Philadelphia, it was like from his own 29-yard line or something like that.
And then he brought the gun to the airport and said he didn't know it was in his bag, and that was an embarrassing moment, just watching him talk. Jerry Jones wanted to prove he could win with any coach. He proved it for 1 year. So he won the battle, but he lost the war because years later they still haven't won a playoff game.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's very well put. A Pyrrhic victory, if you will.
That'll be interesting to see what Jerry Jones's presence will be down at the Combine.
Oh, he's always there.
I know he's always there.
Will the Cowboys bus be there?
It's there. Yeah.
They have their own bus.
They always show, whenever the prospects are working out, they always show Jones in the stands, and he's always talking to somebody, not doing his job.
He's so bitter about Jerry Jones.
Dermot O'Callaghan writes in. He says, been a while since I emailed you. Just wanted to say that your show today is the best you guys have done for ages. Can't quite put my finger on why. Actually, I can. Since you've cut the driftwood of Andy, Stewie, Griffin Hart, and the leg, the show is immeasurably improved. I expect their combined insight and reporting from the combine to be mediocre at best. Tom's assessment, however, I am looking forward to. It will no doubt be ace. Keep up the new slim down. Sorry, Paul. PFW roster.
Oh,
Paul's on a diet.
Yeah, not today.
And I have to be honest with you. I didn't know the difference if Eric was here or if he never says a word.
Well, he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
He's taking notes. We're a tough crowd. You got to admit that. We're tough for a guy.
How long did it take Tom to start talking?
Tom was emailing before he was ever on the show.
That's true. He wanted to know what he was getting himself into.
He says, P.S., says Dermot, have you an offer for lunch next week? We'll try and arrange, but may be tough to convince Papagino's that the order's genuine, given it's coming from 5,000 miles away.
Just give Rachel
credit card.
Just give Gary your credit card. We'll take care of
it. We got Rachel's credit card on standby there if we ever need lunch.
We should just keep a file of these cards and just pick one when we need it.
Roulette.
Also, like your uncle used to do when you went Christmas
shopping. big rubber band around him.
Also, while part of me wanted to try and get it when those two other losers are away, I'm in a conciliatory mood. Maybe Gary can let me know details of how it can work out for Tuesday or Thursday next week. Gary will be
Gary
happy
will effort,
to oblige.
Effort that. So we're getting some snow, huh, Freddie?
I hear we're getting – now every time I hear it, it goes up. It started at 3 inches. Now it's like 9 to 12.
There's a joke in there somewhere, but I'll stay away from it.
Well,
I'm going to have to clean out my garage. I got to get my new car in the garage then. I can't have it snowed on.
You got a new car.
I do.
See how we worked that in?
I did.
And you got a?
Honda Accord. I
nice.
Told you that.
I know, but this is for the listeners,
they
Paul.
Don't care what kind of car I got.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
Email in, listeners. Let us know that you do care what kind of car Paul is
driving. I threw a shout-out to my guy yesterday on the air.
Leather?
No. I don't like leather seats.
You don't like leather seats.
I don't like them in the
rule number 14B.
I agree with Paul.
Why can't you just not like something without it being a rule?
How can you not like leather
seats? In the summer, you get all sticky.
Right. I don't like them in the extremes. In the winter.
You have AC?
Yeah, yeah. In the winter, it's very cold, and I don't like it. And in the summer, it's very hot, and I don't like it.
I don't like leather couches. I don't like leather seats.
See, I don't mind leather couches and stuff because that's climate control.
Leather, it lasts longer. It doesn't absorb the smells. I mean, when you're sitting in the car and you're letting the gas go, the cloth absorbs that. The leather, it just whisks right off. It's easier to clean, doesn't absorb smells,
rips.
There's a reason why leather's more expensive.
Well,
there's
no question.
Because idiots like you are paying for it, that's
right.
Why.
But listen, I also have two young kids.
Yeah.
And I'm not really looking forward for them ripping things in the car.
No, but the leather's easier to clean than cloth.
Clean, yes. Destroy, also easier to do.
I got to find out this guy's portfolio to see what stocks he owns. Because the weirdest things you'll mention, and he'll back to the death, like leather. Like, what do you care?
I like leather.
I think leather's nice. I just don't like it on a car seat. I grew up, I had all kinds of the leather couches and chairs
right.
My parents had in the den.
Right.
Loved it.
Right.
Very comfortable.
I got a nice leather recliner.
There's a surprise
and,
right there.
I wanted to get a leather couch, but my wife wouldn't let me. She said, enough with the leather.
How much was the leather recliner?
Oh, I got it from Jordan's. It was reasonable.
$1,500?
No, not even close. Not even close.
Easy.
You know?
I'll be looking for a new recliner.
Well, that was the only thing. I wanted to get the nav system.
You sat in that recliner, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a good recliner. It's nothing special, but it's nice.
I wanted to get the nav system so I could be like you and be Mr.
Did
Super
you
Cool.
Get it?
I didn't because you need the leather seats to have it. I'm serious.
So if you weren't so stubborn about leather seats, you could have had a nav system. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm getting that nav system.
Well, I would have had to pay for it, Fred. It's a big upgrade.
Once you have it, it's like having a computer.
I gotta tell people out there, whatever the cost, get it.
Yeah.
Because I can go to Arizona and drive around there better than I can Boston because I know how to drive around Arizona because that thing told me where to go.
Yeah, but
that's
I don't have problems driving around Boston either. You know,
you only grew up there.
But you're not from here. Tom's not from here, so
right.
The nav would make sense for a guy like Tom.
But I don't travel enough to do. I'm saying if you do a lot of traveling,
right?
Like me, I don't leave my house, so it would make sense to pay for a nav.
Now, if I had one that you buy them now, right? And you can just take them in and out of cars, whatever.
Yeah,
I would get one of those for when I go down to Florida.
Yeah.
My parents' house?
Well, now the rental cars come with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, not.
This is comical.
Not in the ones that I rent. I don't know about you guys.
The rental cars come with them, but the buses and cabs don't.
Well, that's ridiculous. No, that should be a law that these cabbies have.
Every cab should have one, no doubt. But the buses that we took in Arizona, that was the one drawback is none of the bus drivers knew where they were going.
Favorite excuse was, we're not from around here. Then why are you driving a bus?
Right. Oh, I can't stand that. I don't like having to be in a cab and worrying about that the guy doesn't know where he's going.
And I like when he asks, where are you going? Well, we just told you. I don't know. We're not from here.
Oh, unbelievable.
Anyway, I'm very happy with my new car, Fred.
AC?
Yeah, AC.
Sunroof?
Who gets a car without AC?
No sunroof.
How's the stereo?
Excellent.
Good.
When's the last time a human being bought a car without AC? I want to know.
Up until this car that I have now, I never had AC.
Wait a minute, you have AC in your car and you don't even have power windows?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, you have to have AC. It's 2008.
This is also the first car I ever had with power windows.
You know what I like on one little bell and whistle that I'm sure everybody else has had for years, but my car that I just turned in was a 99.
An engine?
You can do the change the channel and the volume and the mode right on the steering wheel
with
the radio. I like that.
Once you get used to using it, it's nice, but you always
Right.
You know, the instinct is to reach for the radio, but it's right there. It's nice.
Kia didn't come with that. I don't have
It's a very wide stereo, too, so, like, the stations are really spread out. So if you have to get one of the ones down, it's closer to the passenger side.
You have to ask somebody else to do
sure.
it for you.
Yeah. So it's good to have that function. Yeah. That's the one bell and whistle that I don't think I've ever had, and I like.
You know, and I have my car has
a CD player, too, which I never had.
I never used a CD player.
I don't see. I'm not a really big. I'm not big on the CDs anyway, but I do have a lot of mixtapes. The only person in America who still had cassettes I had in my car, and I listen to them a lot on overnights when we're driving home and there's nothing on the radio.
So now you don't have a cassette player.
Well, I'm going to have to
You're not going to put in a cassette player.
No, I'm going to have to make some CDs.
Yeah, okay. Make some new. Don't put in a cassette player.
No, why would I do that? I have to make an Earth, Wind & Fire CD.
Okay. You know, I have a lot of doodads in my car, but one of the problems with having a car that tells you everything is now it's you got to check this, change this oil. It's flashing all these signals at me right now, and I don't like it.
Got emails?
It doesn't get emails, no. Oh, you mean coming into the show? Yeah, sure. We got plenty of emails.
In Fred's defense, I started that title.
Well, someone had to put an end to it because now he was going to be babbling on about
Chris Simonelli.
I was sure a mixtape would have ended the conversation.
Chris Simonelli says, I care what Paul drives for a car.
All right, Chris. Honda Accord, LXP.
And he says that he really enjoys the good navigation and fart-repellent leather car.
That was Fred.
Strippers. I was wondering what kind of car Paul drives.
He doesn't count.
He doesn't really care. He's patronizing me.
Let's see. John from Fayetteville, Georgia, says, it's creeping back to PFW like a beat dog. This is my first time back since the loss. I haven't even watched the NFL Network or ESPN for fear of seeing Manning commercials. I was totally devastated by the loss.
You might not want to come back yet then. Those commercials are still in
rotation. And they're
going to
be more. I was totally devastated by the loss, but I'm ready to climb back on board now after my period of mourning. I'm sure you guys are tired of all the moaning and crying, so let's bring on the 08 season and 13-3 record.
Is that good enough, Fred?
Sounds reasonable.
Would that be good enough?
Sure. I think 13-3 is a good record.
That's a great record by anybody's estimation.
As long as all those 13 wins are by 30 or more points, I'm happy.
As long as you're doing the requisite raping and pillaging.
Right.
You know what would be the best thing for the Patriots, Fred? Lose a game in the first three. Because we're already hearing about can they go 16-0 again. And the media is going to pick up on that. And it's going to be talking about it and saying, you know, and then if they start out 8-0, is the same kind of thing is going to happen. Best thing for them is
and
to
then
lose
you start going, how many,
the season.
How many did they win to end 06, the last couple anyway, and so now it's like 21 in a row or whatever.
For the
but
regular
19,
season,
I think it's
right?
19 in a row.
Right.
And then, you know, they win the first eight, like Tom says, and, you know, people are talking about this streak and blah, blah, blah. I think Tom might be right. It might be a well-placed loss in September that doesn't really matter. Might not be the worst thing that could happen.
TG and NJ wants to talk about Spygate. He says, guys, as is always the case, there is some truth and some lies in whatever anybody is saying. Matt Walsh probably has some recordings. Why else would he want to make sure he is safe from legal action against him before he exposes what he's got? On the other hand, he is definitely in the wrong to have those recordings in his possession in the first place. If Pioli wasn't lying about the tape conversations, you have to wonder what Matt Walsh's MO is. No wonder the Patriots had him sign a non-disclosure agreement. It's obvious he can't be trusted. I just don't like the idea of Walsh being allowed to go unpunished if what he is saying is true. Isn't he as guilty as the Patriots? That's TG and NJ.
I would say that he's guilty, yes. Whether it's the same in terms of severity, I'm not sure that would be the case to you. I think that he's wrong to have that stuff. If he stole things, I think that's wrong.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think, you know, someone who, you know, speeds on the highway is the same as someone who robs a bank.
Tell you, Fred, the funniest thing that I've seen in this whole Spygate thing was when those pictures of his wedding day came surfaced. And
right.
You know, now every little thing that he's ever done is going to surface.
Well, and rightly so.
But on the side, he had all these official NFL footballs.
Right. Like, where'd you think he got those?
That's kind of funny because you think the day he took the picture, he was thinking,
I'm pretty
he
cool.
He wasn't thinking anything about it. And now here it is all over the internet with all these official NFL footballs.
And if people are wondering what you're referring to, go to profootballtalk.com. And when he got married in the Providence Journal, he gave them, the newspaper, some photos to put up about himself. And they've one picture of him preparing for his wedding in his room. And he's got all these footballs piled up and Super Bowl posters on the. He's definitely a nutcase.
He's a nutcase.
TG and NJ also says, guys, come on. We all know it's Ernie Adams that told him to do it. He's the only person in football who could get something out of those tapes. Belichick doesn't waste time and effort when it comes to game planning. What? If Adams wasn't on the staff, would he even bother? I'm not sure if I'm buying that, TG. Adams has the mental acumen to glean some insight from such recordings. The guy is supposed to have a photographic memory, for Christ's sake. Is it he who told Walsh what to do? Could it be that the man who was a key figure in building the dynasty turns out to be the cause of its demise? Sounds like a Greek tragedy.
Belichick.
So, yeah, that's... not buying that.
I mean, in terms of breaking down film,
Belichick loves watching tape.
Can anybody do that as well as Belichick?
No, I've seen him in action. He's amazing.
Remember when he showed us that thing that time against Miami? My head was spinning, Tom. He was doing it so fast and so thoroughly.
I was there that time. He was just
We had one of the other film sessions that he did with the media you were here for, too.
He knows every little thing that's going on. According to, whatchamacallit, what's his name?
Drew Rosenhaus,
several teams are interested in Zach Thomas.
Of course.
That's a shock.
I don't think Drew Rosenhaus would lie, so.
Next question.
I don't think he would lie.
Next question.
In terms of agents, he's pretty straightforward and honest.
Dan in Fairfax says, I care what kind of car Paul drives, but I care more that Fred never had a car with power windows or AC until now. When did you get your car? 1983? I had a Jeep.
I never had a car without power windows and locks and AC.
Strippers wants to know who's paying for Walsh's high-powered DC attorney, Arlen Specter.
Who is paying for him?
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
You know? I mean, the guy could be doing a pro bono.
I doubt that, though.
Yeah.
But if he is, he would have. Don't you think someone got him for? You know, I don't think Matt Walsh called him up and said, "Hey, I got this." Will you?
Right.
If he is doing it pro bono, I feel that somebody got that attorney for him.
Now that's Michael Levy, right?
Yes,
there's two Levys.
Greg Levy is the guy that works for the league,
right?
Works for the law firm for the league.
But Michael Levy
is the guy that's
now.
Representing.
Is he based out of Washington?
I don't know. I don't know where he's based out of.
I believe so.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. I wonder how he retained his services.
Interesting. Lawrence from Ireland. It's my birthday, Cork Soaker, so I'm finally drunk. Can people stop making predictions? It's bad luck. The first prediction I made last season was the Super Bowl. Let's let blank happen and something we should come good. He is drunk. No doubt about it. Let's see. What else we got? Phil in Austin. One question on the Super Bowl before I move on. On that pass to Tyree, the receiver was near the middle of the field and the ball was in the air forever. In 03 and 04, Wilson would have cut that guy in half. Where was the other safety on that play? The play had broken down.
Wilson was on the bench. Tyree was covered like a blanket.
Explain.
Harrison had his arm right in there. That's one of those things where I was too young to watch the game, but if I was alive when Lynn Swann caught that pass, you'd still be asking yourself, how did he catch that pass against the Cowboys? Sometimes things just happen.
You just can't really defend the play any better than Rodney Harrison did on that play. And I know that I'm a big Rodney suck-up, but – I mean, he hit him immediately after the ball touched his hand. He ripped the arm down, the one arm that he had the ball on. It's amazing that he held on to it. I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot else you can say other than how did that just happen? I don't think you can play it any better than he did.
Phil also says, I know the Patriots will probably not be better next year than in 07. But my question is, do you think they will be a better team in 08 because they lost the Super Bowl than they would have been if they had won?
I just think that's the same argument we get back to with the Colts. You know, people say, well, maybe that was the best thing that ever happened to them because they came back mad. How many years are you going to come back mad? I think that kind of runs out of steam at some point.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, that argument for, I don't know
if that's
doesn't really work, seeing that most of the Super Bowl losers don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that. I mean, look, the Patriots could very well go to the. They're already the favorites again, right?
Yep.
They're the favorites to go to and win the Super Bowl again next year, and they could very well do it. But it's not going to be because they're a better team because they lost this year. It's going to be because their talent,
right? All right, 128, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
When you got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers, mild
and hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Lori has stopped by.
Hello.
Eric couldn't be here, so we figured we'd have Lori.
I'm a good stand-in now.
Yeah, you probably say more than he does.
Well, she's already exceeded Eric's word count for a show.
Right.
Aw, poor Eric.
I like your boobs.
So how's it going, Lori?
It's going well. How's it going over here?
Good.
Who bought food today?
Rachel. Rachel from the Philippines.
In the Philippines.
In the Philippines?
Yes.
Wow. Do they have Papagino's over there?
Well,
I don't
know.
Yeah, they delivered.
That was nice of her.
It was. It was very,
very nice. And what's going on around here?
No, we're just, you know, talking
good draft
about
talk, combine talk.
Andy called in from Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's very sick.
Are you sick?
I'm not sick. Tom's sick, though.
You sure you're not sick?
I'm
Andy's
sure.
Not feeling well. We're a little concerned.
What is that? Hey.
We figured you'd know all about it.
Right.
No,
I'm
no.
surprised you're not there with
sorry,
him.
I
I'm surprised
nothing.
He's not. She's not sick.
I just came back today. What are you talking about? No. No. But Tom, you're alive. That's good.
I didn't know you still were
hacking
work.
Up a lung.
Yeah. I got a cough.
You're doing pretty good on the show, though. Not
it,
a lot
it comes,
of coffee.
It comes and goes.
Maybe you just needed some food.
That helps. You know, eat a, what do you call, feed a cold, starve a fever?
Are you eating well? This is where Fred would go. Are you eating well, Tom?
Well, you need to eat well. You need your strength.
No, you need to sweat
zinc.
It out.
And yeah. Take zinc.
Yeah, take zinc.
Now, why don't you sweat it out?
Yeah, you're supposed to sweat it out, take vitamin C.
Get
some rest.
Push-ups.
Get some B12 shots.
What are you doing here? You should be home resting.
Oh, I'm okay. He's why resting here, believe
why
me.
Didn't you, why didn't you bring those perfect push-up things in?
I'm not going to bring them in.
Why?
I can use them at home.
What is
oh,
it?
I want to see
it's
you do one.
It's those things that help you do push-ups.
What do you mean,
they
help you do push-ups?
They swivel.
They swivel? That can't be help.
No, it is, because otherwise you're just like this, but when you punch, your body naturally wants to
ew.
Twist. So it's the same idea.
I would think it'd be more difficult.
Herschel Walker's been doing them wrong all these years. Fred found the right way, everyone.
P.T. Barnum quote.
Yeah. Fred playing the role of my grandfather, falling for every ad he sees on TV. I'm going to get one of those.
Well, there was one that I wanted to ask Andy Hart, because he owns the most land of all of us. I saw on TV that intrigued me. It's this new type of grass seed.
in like it, you know, one fifth the amount of seed grows the same as like other seed, and it's better. Like they had comparisons between that seed that comes with the mulch in it and this seed, and it's just like amazing.
I can tell you what Andy would say. You want me to tell you?
Yeah,
he'd tell you that he saw it. He wants to. He's dying to try it out, but you know what he does? He waits for someone else to buy it first.
Right.
So he sees all the, all these things on TV, and he's dying to try them, but he won't actually buy them until someone else buys them and tells him whether or not that it works. So that's exactly what he'd tell you. Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get a landscaper?
I was intrigued. Well, you still got to grow the grass. I mean, it's not like you don't do your whole lawn with it.
Just
it's
the front lawn?
Yeah. No repairs and you know patches that aren't growing well.
When are you supposed to plant it?
That'd be like my entire front
lawn.
Well,
you can
like
plant
then
it in
that's
the spring.
Smoke it.
Yeah, you know? Coming up.
But they even have, they said it's a four-weather seed. So, like, they show the guy brushing away snow and, like, the grass is, like,
oh,
nice and green underneath. So I'm, I don't know.
Grass dies regardless of if it's grass.
Well, I'm thinking,
grass.
You know, if it were me and Paul, maybe you could put it on our head. And maybe we
can... Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Let's see. Let's play a little game here.
Lori.
very Aww. Complicated rules. One, do you franchise Randy Moss or not?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Here's your protection.
Do you sign Asante for whatever crazy money he's after or trade for Lito Shepard?
Trade for Lito Shepard, if that's an option.
ditto for number two with D'Angelo Hall.
Trade for Lito Shepard.
So I think you're going to have to pay crazy contracts to either one of those guys. Maybe not as crazy as Samuel, but it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Stick with what works. Stick with Asante.
Okay. Who would you rather have, Marty Booker or Jabbar Gaffney?
Jabbar Gaffney.
Gaffney.
Will you choke to death Arlen Specter or Bill Polian?
Well, I'd like to take a good run at Polian.
Yeah.
Oh, at this point, I'd take Specter right now.
See,
I
yeah,
get
but
him
you know what?
Way.
You know what, Fred? You can get
I
more
can deal
trouble.
With Polian later.
See, you're not thinking that. You're getting more trouble if you do something to Specter. The guy's
I'm
a senator.
I'm not going to get caught, you know. For either one of them.
Well, if I were you, I wouldn't make that assumption.
sign free agent linebacker Boss Bailey, DeMario Williams, or Teddy Bruschi?
This thing is a whopping 16 inches.
I don't know if DeMario Williams, I don't think, fits here. He was like 210 pounds coming out of Nebraska. So I think he's more of that quick cover two linebacker. Boss Bailey, I like, but he's been injured, and I don't know if he fits this system either. But I'm not going to say Teddy Bruschi, so I'll say Boss Bailey.
Anyone else? No.
I don't think
do you trade number 7 overall for a late first rounder and another late first day pick, or stay at number 7?
I try my best to trade down, but
yeah,
I think it's hard.
And finally, since the Steelers have opened the door to the poison pill debate to resume by transition tagging Max Starks, do you guys think it's more likely that the poison pill will raise its ugly head again, or that the union will charge the owners will collude for not using it?
Why,
this is the craziest. Have you heard about this?
Why is the transition tagging of Max Starks opening the door for more poison pill activity?
Because
fill me in on this.
Because
one.
If another team doesn't offer him a contract that includes a poison pill, they're going to assume that the owners have agreed amongst themselves. No more poison pills.
So you can only you can only do that
with
a transition
sense.
Guy?
It makes no sense. The other thing that the union is saying, and this gets a little bit more complicated, they're thinking of filing a lawsuit against the league.
I'm all for it.
Because the league has decided in a proposal to reduce their debt. I guess, you know, the league has debt too, loans that they've taken. I guess they have like $150 million worth of debt the NFL has. And they
what are they, their own country?
Well, yeah. And they have a resolution that they want to decrease that debt to $120 million.
Oh, evidently, Beth Perlow is buying rugs for the NFL Network, too.
So the NFLPA is charging that by doing that, you're going to spend less on players. And so they want to sue. And, of course, the league has said that's the most preposterous thing that
can I sue
heard.
You for something, Fred?
you can sue anyone for anything.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
There's got to be something I can sue you for.
Probably.
You know what I think? I think that the next year or so is going to lead to some labor strife.
I think you're right.
I think this isn't going to make it to the end of that CBA, and I think there's some trouble on the horizon, which will not be good for us.
I think if things
can
don't
I collect
work
unemployment?
Out...
employment.
I think if things don't work out quickly, I think the league's going to opt out of that last year. It'll become I think it's going to be really ugly.
You know, it's funny. When I worked at the Herald when the NBA and NHL were on strike, and for a while, baseball was in the lockout. It all happened kind of in the same window. And for a while, and I worked, you know.
You actually read a book.
No, I worked. No, we had to work still. Uh-oh. But I worked in school board pages, you know, in the sports section doing the agate work. And for a while, it was like the best thing that ever happened. It was like an unbelievable vacation. I mean, you basically didn't have to do anything. And we were still going to work. And then as like a couple of months went by, all of a sudden everybody started looking around like, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Because sooner or later, when there are no games to be played, people that work in sports don't have jobs.
Can we cover college football instead?
No.
Well, if there's nothing to cover, let's cover college football.
There's nothing to cover. We're out of jobs.
We can do high school football.
We're not looking for a work stoppage.
No.
Certainly not an extended one.
What? Can I collect unemployment?
Absolutely.
If you get laid off, you can.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get a raise.
Yeah.
So like,
actually, you can collect unemployment.
Yeah.
If you're out of matter what.
So
right?
if you say we get laid off, say they don't play for a year, is there a chance we get laid off and come back?
It could be. Yeah.
For an entire year, an entire season,
a hiatus, if you will.
What do they call that? Sabbatical.
Yeah.
I'm on sabbatical.
You could go write your book.
Yeah.
That's when I write my book.
Right.
So wait, what are they still practice?
No.
I mean,
no.
You're not even allowed on the premises.
Not allowed to practice. They wouldn't be allowed to be here.
So then the entire game changes the next year if they're out an entire year, an entire season not playing, not practicing?
What do you mean it changes?
Like they're not practicing all this time. They're not working out. At least not here.
Well, yeah, at the point where they come back, they'll start practicing again.
Right, and they've never missed an entire year, by the way.
I'm thinking the entire season's a long time.
But in 82,
assuming that on their own
they only played nine games in 82. They played the first two, then they were on strike for a while, and then they played seven games. And in 87, they had a three-week stretch where they didn't play, and they got like replacement players to play for them, which really was a joke.
Like the movie.
Yeah, well, that's what the movie's
based
on.
That's where the movie came from.
Good movie.
Great play by Flutie.
By the way, the game plan, not a good movie.
I didn't see it.
I just got it. I got it for Valentine's Day. I haven't actually seen it.
It's like garbage.
They showed that on the plane coming back.
I did a scene.
I know. I saw it on the way going.
Was it really bad?
Awful.
Did you see my cousin in it? Was he one of the referees? Did you see that?
Oh, I don't know.
The New York team was killing the Boston quarterback in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you see me in it, Gary?
Well, they had a tough time with movies.
Tough time picking the movies there on those flights to and from Arizona.
Let's see.
Well, were you in it?
Mm-hmm. Cool. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. But
are you jealous of Megan White?
Megan White? No, I haven't seen it. Does she look good? Well, I heard about it.
I heard the photo wasn't good.
No,
I can bring it in.
Is she in Playboy?
No, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
I heard online her pictures are better.
Huh?
I heard online her pictures are better.
Oh yeah.
I think she's very photogenic.
The one photo I saw, and I think she is. She's amazingly photogenic.
Yeah.
She has one of the best smiles I've ever seen, but. The photo that I saw from SI was not good. Wasn't good of her.
Aw. Not doing her justice.
Yeah. What?
You're concerning me a little bit.
I mean,
she has one of the best smiles I've ever seen.
No, she does.
That was nice. That was a compliment.
I mean,
I know that.
I basically, one of my jobs is to judge these girls, unfortunately.
You're welcome to college.
I have to do it.
Are you going to be judging tryouts this year?
No. I'll be there, and
you should.
I
kind one of his that. Jobs, though.
I give my opinions.
Can I follow
like,
you around for a day, Fred. I'd really like to see what you do,
but except for the time that you go over to the Bass Pro Shops, I don't need to go there.
You're gonna have those wings. You're gonna.
Why don't
try
you go get
wings.
Me a? Set.
There's wings at the Bass Pro Shop.
They have a restaurant now,
and it's open.
Yeah,
according to Fred, they got wings.
Those wings
they have
are
wedding
good?
Rings. They have whatever you need.
Better than Papa Gino's, like the sauce.
Yes. I'm not talking. It's buffalo wings.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have that at Papa Gino's, do they?
Well, they don't have wings. Those are buffalo.
Oh, those. No, those are boneless wings.
But I'm
those
talking about the
wings.
Sauce, the actual hot sauce on it.
It's
good.
It's you know what? There's mild, medium, and hot. I got the mild. It's delicious.
Hmm.
It's still kind of hot.
Why'd you get mild?
Because I want to taste it first before I blow myself away.
And run out of control. I can't do anything anymore.
The mild is, but the mild is like the mild is like hot at the Buffalo
Wild Wings.
Wild Wings.
and he ended up with a bloody lip.
I did. My lip started bleeding because it was so hot.
At Buffalo Wild Wings?
No, at Bass Pro. They were so good. They were steaming hot. But they were so good, I ate them anyway, and I ripped the skin off my lip. So I looked down, and there's, like, blood all over my glass
my
and my napkin and everywhere, yeah. But it was still good. It was
you tasted blood.
Yeah, it was delicious, though.
Ugh. What are you going to do?
Hey, look, I'll eat anything that bleeds or bled at one time. I don't care.
Gary, you got that?
An hour and 43 minutes into the show.
He's looking for that Red Queen. Actually, he's looking for Meg White.
Nicest smile ever, right, Freddie?
She has
Gary
a great
smile.
Gary
likes Meg White.
She has a great smile.
She does.
But you are jealous of her, huh?
Why
you didn't
jealous?
Get to, you didn't get to be in the SI swimsuit issue.
That's okay.
That's only for current cheerleaders, not has-been cheerleaders.
Are you trying to stab here? Paul Polo.
You sound like Andy Hart now.
Well, he's not here.
I'm a bit offended. You're one of my favorite.
If I am not your one favorite, then I'm going to be offended for that. I'm the only one that doesn't make fun of you constantly.
You just did.
That's one time.
Oh, my God.
Just this one time. I'll let you ask me about my business.
Tell me about Beth's rugs.
She's asking about your business?
Oh, my God.
Wow. All right.
That's not what I meant. And you can't say anything because you already got one in today.
Right. No, see, here you go. Absolutely.
No, you said that she
paid
$1 million
for it.
There's proof right there. Picture of Megan White from the internet. Right?
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a very good one. I love her.
So... let's see. James from England is checking in. Two quick questions. One, what do you think of the reports that Hobbs played hurt in the playoffs in the Super Bowl?
He announced that to us right after the game.
Right. So, and now it is reported that he will have surgery.
Yeah, he had a torn labrum, and he had surgery to correct that. That's supposed to be about 4 or 5 months. He should be ready in time for training camp.
What about the groin?
Just rest.
Just rest?
Yeah. Okay. According to the stories.
Yeah.
Now, I found it interesting that, Fred, both the Globe and Herald had an unnamed source, so it basically was quoted verbatim
right.
in both stories.
Yeah.
So obviously it was the same person.
Right.
May or may not have been Ellis Hobbs himself.
Or his agent.
Assuming it is.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it was Hobbs or the agent, I would say.
Two, what do you think Randy's reaction will be if we slap the franchise tag on him? Do you think there is a risk he takes it badly and returns to the old Randy Moss?
There's a slight
risk. I think he's going to understand. I mean, if they slap the franchise, he's going to get like $8 million, right?
I think if
he
they
made a lot more than $8 million.
Right. I think if they slap the franchise tag on him under the guise of when we, because they can't really, I mean, according to the rules,
right.
they can't give him a deal yet.
Because he's already had one
restructure
of his
in a
deal
year.
In a year.
So,
he can only have one per year, so they have to wait until after February.
Right. February 29th is the start of the new league year. So. If they say to him, we're going to put this franchise tag on you just so we maintain our negotiating rights with you, but we have every intention of signing you to a longer-term deal, I think that's fine. But if they don't want to do that and they just give him the franchise tag, then I think it's 50-50. I think he could be upset about that because I think Tom's right. I think he could get more than $8
million. Let's see. Great show as always, and I'm with you. Bring in some young blood on D, and let's see if we can get some speed on both sides of the ball.
I mean, imagine if they had a defense that was of similar capabilities of the offense last year. I mean, I know that they won 18-1 anyway, but I just think about how scary that would have been if they were equally as dominant on defense.
You know what they don't have? They don't have a nasty defense. They're always on their heels. Even if they stop people inside the 10 to kick a field goal, it doesn't seem like they're ever dictating to the offense. It's like they're always going backwards.
Right.
I want them to get back to that
it's
old
nasty defense.
It's
not an offensive defense.
Like I thought in 04, they
it's
had
a reactionary
it's
defense.
Not proactive. It's
03,
reactive.
03 and 04, I thought they had that kind of defense. Not that they were always dominant, but I thought for the most part they dictated the way the
but
other team played.
They were hitting people. They you know, they went after people. It doesn't seem like the last couple of years they've been that way.
Dan from Roswell, Georgia. Tomorrow I'm facing major humiliation. I lost the Super Bowl bet with my New York Giants friends, and now I have to buy lunch at the local Giants watering hole. Part of the bet is that I have to wear all my Patriots gear and decorate our table with Pat's pennants. Any ideas how to turn this to my advantage with these coarse Giants fans, or do I have to face the music and eat crow? Since Eric takes constant grief from Tom and Andy, maybe he can share his secrets for dealing with them. No, but he can show you how to make a nice centerpiece for
yeah.
the table.
He can even draw one for you.
Yeah.
The thing I
you know,
find
as long as you have a light bright so he can trace it.
The thing I find interesting is that Giant fans are so stupid. They're decorating the table with Patriots pennants. Aren't those Super Bowl pennants? You know what I mean? Like, what
from
are you going to do? You're going to parade everything,
right.
All the great Patriots accomplishments around? It doesn't make any sense.
How could he turn that into his advantage?
Stop making stupid bets.
I don't really get
what,
it.
Like
he's
shaving
wearing
your head
all
if
Patriots
it was the Super Bowl.
He has to wear all his Patriots
right,
stuff.
Right, so it's not like he has to wear Giants stuff, so he's kind of winning on this. I don't really see it.
See this as a bad bet either. You're wearing your Patriot stuff. You're decorating everything.
Well, he has
Patriots.
To buy lunch. It's probably going to cost him an arm and a leg.
Well, that's his fault.
Yeah. Tell him to bring a Patriots cake.
I don't know.
Yeah, dessert.
I'm wondering if there's a way he could turn the tables, so to speak.
You'll come up with it if there's anybody.
Well, if
that,
he has to bring all Patriots stuff, he should bring hats for everybody, so make all of them wear Patriots stuff too.
Right, and buy them from the online pro shop.
Yep.
Which is open for business, by the way.
I'll tell you what you do.
A lot of ASU championship gear.
Okay. Nobody cares. I'll tell you exactly what you do. I know how to get back at your friends. What you do is you go along with the whole scheme, all right? Order dessert. You say, I'll be right back. Got to go to the bathroom. Goodbye. Take off. Make them pay for the bill.
There you go.
What if one of them are listening, though? And they make...
Oh, I can't do it all.
What if they take his credit card in the beginning?
No one will do that. They'll just assume he's going to pay. He's there. He's going along with the bet. He's laughing it up, you know, pretending you think it's all funny. Then, boom, you get up, you get in your car, and drive off.
Or you could work out something with the chef where you spike the food with a little, you know, Ex-Lax or something like that.
Oh.
You know?
That's kind of mean.
Stiff him with the bill.
I heard, Chris says, I heard on EEI, Walsh's attorney is doing it pro bono.
Oh, okay.
But so someone got him then.
Yeah, but even if he's doing it pro bono, there's something down the road for him. So they might think that they're going to settle. And
do you think Walsh just called this guy up in Washington and said,
right,
hey, I got a case? Somehow, some way, someone got him in touch with this attorney. I don't know who it was, but I don't think it was him.
Now, are you the guy that likes Curtis Lofton, Tom?
We all kind of like him.
Well, here's his scouting report from Strippers. He says he plays much faster than his 40 time, relentlessly pursues the football, physical and explosive at the point of contact, takes on blocks and tacklers with good pad level and explosion, has a nose for the football, great instincts, appears to be football smart, has played all three linebacker spots during his career at OU, consistently produces turnovers, and not known to be a great off-season and weight room guy.
Okay, now how far behind are you on the emails?
I don't know why.
Don't remember reading that one?
I didn't read that.
Last time, right before we left.
Andy's the guy.
You said, here's Stripper's analysis of
Not
Curtis
me.
Lofton.
Not me.
I'm pretty sure you did, because Andy really saw something on him. Tom's been talking about him, and Andy saw something on him, and that made, you know, of course, that legitimizes it once Andy sees it. You know, he makes fun of Tom and I for our stamps of approval, but, you know, Andy actually saw LeBron James in person, and now he's a good player. I think he did that with Curtis Lofton, and he wanted to know more, and I think Stripper
sent
that in. Yeah,
Andy asked for and read it, and this one came in this afternoon.
Oh, okay. The one thing I'll say about Lofton is he never started a game until last year, and he had only had 35 tackles going into last year. Now, he burst on the scene as a senior. He had like 157 tackles and was all over the place. So what the scouts will have to do is, you know, was that a one-year thing? So that's the question mark with him going into the combine.
I have a question for you, too, and maybe Strippers can answer this. But there's been a lot of great defensive players on those Oklahoma teams. They've had great defenses under Stoops. How many of them have translated to be really strong NFL players? I'm wondering if it's one of those college systems that's not really translating.
Yeah, it's
you know, and the guys have had success. I'm not, you know, they haven't been total washouts, but I'm just wondering how many of those guys.
Whatchamacallit from the Ravens there, that Bill calls by the wrong name, defensive lineman Greg.
Oh,
they're Greg
Kelly Greg. Kelly Greg.
Yeah, him. You know, Teddy Lehman's had a little bit of success, but you know, Derek Straight's floated around a little bit, but no one's coming to the
Johnson's there too, right? Eric Johnson? Wasn't he OU?
No, he was Texas.
Texas.
But
I don't know how many of those. You wouldn't believe how many guys from Oklahoma and Texas I mix and match.
But, you know.
I don't know why.
They've all been average. Roy Williams.
TG says, oh, my God. The team is coming off its biggest loss of all. The head coach is under attack from Spygate. Eric the Leg is at the combine instead of Tom. And you guys are talking about leather and grass, not to mention Lori is in, and she's talking about Paul's wife's rug.
Yeah,
Andy is sure missing a lot of opportunities.
That was over the top, I thought.
Time out. Why are you teaming up on me?
Well, I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Brian in Honolulu says, I feel if Bill would have been more forthcoming when Spygate first broke, this would be over. Whenever I hear Bill's original explanation to Cadell, it reminds me of the famous George Costanza line from Seinfeld. Boss says, I'll get straight to the point. It has come to my attention that you and the cleaning lady engage in sexual congress on the desk in your office. Is
that
correct?
Wrong?
Was that wrong?
Who said that? She did. Was that wrong? Should I have not done that? I tell you, I got to plead ignorance in this thing, because if anyone had said anything to me that that sort of thing was frowned upon, you know, because I have worked in a lot of offices, and people do that all the time.
That's actually a good analogy. That's how stupid it was.
And I also agree with the premise of the email. I think if Bill did even what he did on Monday at the time, and he stood in front of everybody and took questions on it, and everybody just emptied their barrel and he answered them, I think it would have gone away.
Yeah, who's to blame for that, Fred? Him or the PR department? For how they handled it the first time?
That's because the PR department has very little say in
it. I just look at things that have happened. You know, Rodney Harrison had a 4-game suspension. Has anybody even mentioned that since?
Not at all.
Yeah, but see, you know, there's two.
I'll give you a more serious one, Fred. The NBA, with their whole scandal on a referee who was crooked.
Right. Hey, it's gone away.
Because why?
Because they dealt with it.
He dealt with it. He held a press conference and took every question, took every shot.
But here's the thing, you know. When Spygate 1 first happened, it really became in the league's hand. Belichick's not the one that destroyed those tapes.
No, but he could have explained it
instead of saying focus is on San Diego. His point was that he didn't want anything to take away from the team's approach. And, you know, maybe you could argue that that was right and they went 16-0.
But I think if he just faced the music once. But Spector is mad about the tapes being destroyed.
I understand. No,
but we're not talking about Spector. We're talking about the fact that it lingered all year.
Yeah,
and it did.
But I don't think it would have if Spector hadn't destroyed those tapes. But Fred, not Spector, I mean Goodell.
Let me ask you a question, Fred. If Belichick came out right away and just said, you know what, I just screwed up.
He did.
Not really.
He said that. I missed my mistake,
Fred,
and I've been punished. And that,
That was in a brief statement.
Right.
He never addressed it. Any questions to it, he ignored them all.
No, he did not say what he told Goodell. But he said, look, I was wrong. We're punished. I hope we can move on.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Right.
But then
and he was wrong.
But then things
they couldn't
happened.
Move on.
I know, because Goodell destroyed the tapes.
And what Tom and I are saying is if he stood up and he explained why he did it, how he did it, where he did it, when he did it, it wouldn't have mattered about the tapes being destroyed.
Maybe.
But instead, he hid behind a 3-sentence statement and wanted that to suffice for the whole year. And
but
people
they really
weren't
haven't
happy
done
about
that much
it.
Since till now. Now it's coming out again,
but
really,
it lingered.
They did hush it.
It lingered all year. It lingered and lingered and lingered. People nationally were writing about the implications.
Peter King just wrote something like two weeks before the Super Bowl. Greg Easterbrook's thing wasn't about what the Patriots did. It was about what's being covered up here.
I'm just
right, and Bill never explained it. Maybe if Bill explained it, people wouldn't have thought anything was being covered up.
But at that point, no matter what he said, Goodell destroyed those tapes.
I'm talking about public perception. If you come out,
I totally agree with Tom.
Like Andy Pettit, everyone thinks Andy Pettit's the nicest guy in the world. He still cheated,
and he still lied.
Yeah, still lied.
Right,
but Bill is so hard and coarse.
Right,
the way he.
No, yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
That's a fair point.
That's all I'm saying is if he just handled it maybe a little bit better, then I think a lot of other people would have said, "Hey, he said what happened. You know, why should we not believe him?"
Right. Gerard from Pennsylvania says, "Hey, Lori, who would win in a mud wrestling match? You or Christina Acra?"
Oh, you would kill her.
Duh.
She's too small.
Kill her.
I got muscles, you know.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back next Tuesday, so we'll see you next Tuesday. Will Tom and Andy be back? I mean,
Tom's right there.
Will Eric and Andy be back?
Andy will. I don't know if Eric's going to make it home alive.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you then.